We're live, Emily. Well, we're live. Roy is, I don't know, having problems with his computer, and hopefully he's going to be able to figure it out. Who knows?
That happens when you let 70-year-old people on computers.
Now we can make fun of him all we want, and he can't do anything about it.
He's muted, so he can't even fight back.
Yeah, I totally muted him too, which is great. Let me send him a message, and there we go. So, Emily, it's been a long time since we've chatted. Has anything new happened?
No. Oh my goodness, it feels like every day is just that you don't even know what day is what anymore. But I'm going to keep an eye on the comments this time and actually be able to respond back to people now, because I couldn't do it because I was on my phone last time. But before we do anything, I actually just wanted to ask how everyone is, and I wanted anyone who's obviously tuning in to just post on the comments what you're doing and how quarantine is and how everyone is. So just note down what you're doing and what you're doing with your lockdown. I've got a special tip for people in lockdown, which I'm going to share at the end of the video.
Oh, but wow. That's a big plug.
I just wanted to see how everyone was, really, and just hoping that everyone is obviously safe and well.
Of course.
So obviously our lockdown is quite different to everyone in the US as well, and obviously in every different country. So I just hope everyone's safe and happy and staying motivated, because it is very hard to stay motivated at this time.
Yeah. It's really weird because in Wisconsin, today's actually a voting day for us. And there was 13 different states that were voting today, and 12 of the 13 canceled their election dates. You want to take a guess on which one didn't? Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I actually get to go out and vote after this. So that's pretty exciting.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. You're allowed to. Like, we're not allowed to leave we're only allowed to leave for exercise or like necessity sort of trips to get medicine or food.
Yeah. So it's, we're not supposed to be going outside, but, I guess if you want to insert politics into it, our governor tried to delay it, and then the Senate or the Congress in our state decided that was a stupid idea, and then it actually went up to our Supreme Court, and they said that we have to do the votes because the Congress told us we have to. So it's a wild world we live in. But how are those Joey Gray workouts coming along?
Oh my god. And I went for a bike ride today with my dad, and so my mum and dad, they have these electric bikes, and where they go to on holiday sometimes in Brighton, which if you're from the US, it's like along the coast in England. And so they have these two bikes, which are electric. And so when you're going up the hill, obviously you can turn the electric on and you don't have to do any work. So they're basically like cheap bikes, but they're brilliant. So my dad and I cycled to the shop to get some food. Obviously the bike that I was on ran out of battery. So the journey, I wasn't using the electric bit of it. And so on our way back, my dad was like, oh no, let's not go the same way, we'll go a different way, the shorter way, which is of course way more hilly, like we're out in the country. And so the last bit of it was up this hill that's like this, and so I'm on this bike like dying, my legs are going, everything. My dad's just like cycling next to me like happy because he's got the electric on. So I think I cycled like 5 or 6 miles or something, got back and just literally nearly died. But still working out, which is good, keeps me very motivated. I don't know what anyone else does to try and stay motivated if you're not working out. It's very difficult.
You could always start a podcast. That keeps you pretty busy.
I was going to say, you don't look like the best to the gym, do you?
Oh, I did, actually. Oh, that's a shot right there. Ouch, my heart. I actually used to do bodybuilding for about 3 years. It was a lot of fun. And then I started a podcast and stopped going to the gym. So here I am now. But
okay.
Well, I think one question that might be good, because Roy's not here anyway, so we might be able to get a follow-up. With the interview we did last week, I had asked a question, basically, how do you plan on basically choosing your players for the Moscone Cup this year? And you said that you were going to have a meeting with the captains. Is there anything out of that meeting that you would like to share for everybody here?
Oh, wouldn't everyone love that? So we had a good Zoom meeting with Team USA captains and Team Europe. We have all come to a decision on what we're going to do. We're just finalising a few things first, but we're 99% sure what's going to happen, and we're just figuring a few things out, and we're going to reconvene in a week just to touch base on it again. But we're all very comfortable that we're going down the right route for this. But everyone will know very soon what our plans are.
Oh, that's such a tease.
No, I'm not telling you right now. I'm not giving that away. Absolutely not.
Are you going to be on the team?
Yes. I'm going to play in the warm-up match. I've decided.
Oh, why not? Did you at least learn any trick shots for us this week that you're going to show off?
No, I haven't actually gone onto the table. I even got the new set of balls and everything here, and I haven't even tried it out. I need to play my dad a few racks or something. Race to 7, maybe. Or even race to 5.
What do you spot him? You spot him 3 in the breaks?
Maybe. He's actually very good.
Yeah, that's what I had heard from. He used to play in Matchroom events, right?
No, he played in one of the Euro tours once. Oh. So no, I mean, it wouldn't be that fixed for my dad to play in one of our events, but no, on the poker, not on pool.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, that makes sense.
I love how Dennis Grove is saying that we're watching TikTok videos. By the way, I don't have a TikTok, but my younger sister, she's literally obsessed with it. And so I can walk downstairs and she's just practicing TikTok videos. She did actually do one which I had to join in, and it was a dance video, and I have zero coordination. And I never do that again.
Where can we find the link to that?
No. No, you won't be able to, because you don't know my sister's name, so it's fine. No one can search it.
That is not true, because your sister actually commented. I think she shared one of the posts for the podcast. So I could. How many sisters do you have? Just one?
Two. So good luck.
Well, I know one of them, so I could reach out to her, and I could do some research. I might be able to find this.
You're not finding the TikTok video. It is terrible.
all the more reason to try to find it.
Roy is trying to sort his video out, right?
I think he
doesn't sort it out.
I think he sorted it out right now. There he is. Let's unmute him. Is he unmuted? Roy, can you hear us? There. We got his video. Now we just need to figure out how to get him working.
Can you guys hear me?
There he is.
Oh, here he is. I'm thinking that you're too old to play with computers.
Yeah, you got me right away, huh? This Zoom thing.
You never been on Zoom before.
Hey, I got my son doing it for me.
He
just figured it out, Zoom. We're using something else. Hey, good evening there, Emily.
Good evening to you as well. Well, what is the time there? Early evening?
It's 4:10 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Nate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at you. What's up, with Roy? Your t-shirt on.
Hey, representing.
I had to pay him a lot of money,
Emily,
to wear that.
It's free hour.
Same here. We all love foodie, don't we?
So, what have you guys been talking to? I was gone for 10 minutes. Sorry,
we were just talking shit behind your back, really, Roy.
Yeah, mostly we were making fun of you.
Yeah, no. We were obviously, I know that Roy will say the same thing as well, was just reaching out to everyone to ask what they were doing in quarantine, and obviously very different. You've got The villa's in lockdown sort of thing, but everyone's quarantine is very different. So just wanted to send our wishes, really, and just hope everyone's safe and well and not ready to kill someone. So I saw this post the other day. I'm guessing you both have watched The Shining, right?
The Shining, Jack Nicholson.
There was a post where it was like, oh, we were locked up for several months and this is what happened. Yeah. So I'm hoping that no one's getting to that point where they're about to kill everyone. But
Hi, Mom. Mom's right behind you.
No, she's not. She's on the show. She's a program.
I'm not going to lie. I was hoping for some dog sightings.
Nah, he's quite relaxed as well. It's just 9 o'clock is like prime time in the Fraser household to have a glass of wine, but it's quite relaxed here this evening. So they're just watching a good program, chilling out.
Cool. Here, all we're doing here is eat, sleep, and work out, and shoot some pool.
Sounds perfect. What would you do if you didn't have a pool table?
Well, I don't shoot a lot anyway. I do a lot. I play cards a lot, but that's hard to do right now. You can only do it online.
Yeah.
Netflix, thanks to Netflix.
Have you watched Tiger King?
Tiger King, I watched the first 20 minutes.
Didn't like it?
Kind of like, I might get into it later. So I stopped first 20 minutes.
I did find it quite up and down. Like, it was super intense and really exciting. And then I could watch half an episode and half be on my phone. So it is a bit strange, but you do have to watch it. I know
Joshua watched the whole season four, I think, of Money Heist.
Oh, really? Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I've seen it advertised.
The whole season in one session, he watched it all.
Carl's in the comments already trying to get me in trouble.
Okay.
Carl's got to ruin everything. Well, should we actually start some talking?
Yeah, why not?
So I think the fun part about having both of you on is Matchroom and Roy's Basement, I think, is probably the two biggest promoters of pool in the world today. And so because you guys are basically the biggest entities in pool and you guys are doing the most good for the sport, especially now during this quarantine, since you guys are basically the only people coming out with content, I think it'd be really fun to bring you guys on to talk about what your individual visions of the future of pool look like, since you guys are kind of the ones that are deciding what it will look like. So, Emily, we can start with a question for you. And I think it'd be fun to know about the biggest tournament in the U.S., and that is pretty much everybody agrees would be the U.S. Open. You guys purchased it a couple years ago. You have the field at 256. You guys have completely revamped the production of it, the final 16 single elimination. And the tournament from where it was 5 to 10 years ago to where it is now, it's a production that is unlike the pool world has ever seen as far as that tournament. So what do you have as a vision for the U.S. Open in the coming years that is a little bit different maybe than what we're seeing right now?
Well, that's a very good question. I think for anyone to just see, and no disrespect to what obviously happened previously, but just looking at what we did in year one, and it's so bizarre to think that we've actually only done 1 year of the US Open. I feel like we've been doing it for years now. But year one, we kind of smashed it out of the park, and you've just said it all night. We've revamped it. We've upped the production. So all you can really anticipate from us is that prize money is going to increase, production is going to increase, entries, maybe that will increase. But again, let's not run before we can walk. I think it's key to nail the 256 field every year and ensure that we sell it out and keep 256. Then all of a sudden, year three, just bashing out the next stage as such, but it's definitely in our minds. We're already sort of looking at venues that can hold more tables, more days as such. So that's obviously part of the US Open vision. I think the one thing that we're really missing from the US Open is spectators. Touched base on it a few days ago that we're really not quite tapping into the casual fans as well as the hardcore fans when it comes to this event. And we should be having maybe an amateur event alongside, not something that we do. Again, we're not, that's not our specialty. We leave that to the pros. That's what they do. But I would like to have this big week of pool. You know, you look at expos and things like that. That's something that we should really be turning the US Open into. I was quite disappointed walking around and seeing the number of vendors that we had. And, you know, that's no fault of anyone's, just the tournament as such. But that's what I'd like to grow. The actual entire tournament of the US Open is just a full week of pool that everyone can attend. But all of the top, all the best players in the world are there. And instead of it being 700 sell out on the final day, let's keep increasing that. Let's go to 1,000. Let's go to 1,500. We're only going to do that, though, if we actually sell those tickets. And it's a real, real tough sell. If it means we have to move out of Vegas, we'll move out of Vegas. We'll move somewhere else. So we're constantly on our toes. We're thinking what we should do with the US Open. But again, we've only done 1 year of it. And like I say, we haven't perfected it, but we have done really fucking well, to be honest. So the vision, it's there. Just got to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future of it, for sure. So now we can transition over to you, Roy. And you don't have, obviously, you don't have to worry about venues for 256 people or anything like that, but you still have, like, crazy visions for what you can do with your different gambling matches. And I think the biggest evidence of that is your belt idea that you have put out there for the pool world to actually start working towards as far as getting some of your bigger matches in the queue. So obviously this quarantine is, it's a really weird shutdown of the ideas that you were probably having, but what are some of the ideas that you have towards your belts that you could really use to promote pool in the coming years?
Yes. First of all, I want to say kudos to Matchroom, what they've been doing the last 2 years in the world of pool. I mean, it came a long way, and this is the biggest thing that's happening in the pool world right now. So we got to support them, because I've heard a lot of pool players, you know, regular tournament pool players, especially in the U.S., like, how come the prices back in the late 80s, early 90s are not even at the same amount nowadays, you know? And they were right. So why is it like that? And now here comes a Matchroom stepping right in, right? And they're doing all this big prize money and all that. We're liking it, right? So what do we got to do? We got to support them. And down the line, it's all business for them, right? So we got to support them, making sure that they can continue doing this. You know, not like one of those. There's a lot of tournaments in the last 20 years that came in and out, you know, just do it for a year or two. They come and go, you know, because they've been promising players and pool fans, oh, we can do this. We're big, you know. We're promising we're not going to rip off players, you know. Well, they're selling a whole bunch of, if we have it, we can do it, you know. Here comes Matchroom, you know. Whatever they say, they're doing it, you know. And all they need from us, like Emily said, is support. Support from the vendors and the pool fans supporting the vendors, that the vendors are the sponsors, you know, to whatever projects Matchroom is doing. So that's a big plus. So I'm all for Matchroom.
I gotta echo that, too.
Let's go back to what you're saying. Yeah, it's all about the side thing about pool. Mainly it's big in the U.S., which is the side actions, the money game actions in the U.S., you know. And I'm trying to promote it to the whole world, especially Europeans, to be doing the same thing, you know. I mean, because it's catchy, you know. It's the old nostalgic feeling about pool. I mean, we can't be hustling anymore because everybody knows everybody because of the internet, you know. But we can still do it. What? It's all about bragging rights, you know, like, hey, I got 2,000 here, you know, I can play you, you know, You know, it's all about bragging rights. You know, I'm the best from this town, and I want to play you, you know? I mean, there's a lot of momentum, you know? I mean, that's driving that match, you know? Like, oh, yeah, I want to go. I'm your friend. You know, I want to go. I'm going to bring all my friends, too. Let's go sweat. Let's sweat this match. That's what I'm all about, you know? I mean, I've been gambling since I was 10 years old. That's how young I started, you know? And you don't want to know, I mean, what kind of gambling I did since I was 10 years old.
I do. I want to know.
You don't want to know. In fact, some of those was on the Facebook, you know? I mean, last night, a woman asking about, hey, have you done this too, Roy? I was like, yeah, I did it, you know? I did it. So, but anyways, yes, the money game title belts. I'm doing that for 10 ball, one pocket, and bar box. And right now, the for bar box, that's the only one that we got a player that's holding the belt, which is Sky Woodward. I don't have a player yet holding the belt for the one pocket and the 10 ball. Hopefully I could do that, you know. Hopefully they're saying I could do that. I'd like to do it with a 10 ball. Who is it? Shane? Yes. Shane versus who? I would like to see Shane play Chung Jin Lin or Joshua Fielder for the belt. I'll give up the belt. And for one pocket, I'd like to see Dennis Orkoya and Alex Pagulayan, you know. I'll stay right in the middle. They're both my horses, so I'll be right in the middle there. And I just want to bring it out, show people, let's do this. They're not getting any younger. That's what I keep telling them, let's do this. Let's do all these matches. So there you go, Nate.
I am really excited for that Dennis and Alex match. If we can get that one going, that one would be amazing to be able to watch. So anybody in the questions or in the comments, ask questions if you'd like to have them asked, and if they're good, we'll ask them. So I think the next question can go to Emily, and I think this is probably the next direction that we have to go with, is, and that's the Moscone Cup. And the last 3 years, especially been, well, really the last 2 years have been revamped with the U.S. winning for the first time in 9 years. And I think it shows up in crowds, it's, at least in the U.S. this year. This next year, it's going to be in Ali Pali again in London. And the capacity for it is about 2,500, if I'm not mistaken. What is more?
3,000.
Oh, my.
So you're... 3,000, it's crazy to think that, and hopefully it sells out. So if you don't have your tickets, get over there and get your tickets, because it probably will sell out or get very, very close. The U.S. sold out, and it sold out, but that was less seats. But Europe is so much easier to travel for all those fans that show up a lot better. So
put it into perspective, we were 1,500 in 1,500 in 2017. Then we moved to 2018. It was just under 2,300 in Ali Pali. Then we went to 1,700 in Vegas last year, and then we're going to go to 3,000. We could have comfortably sat with 2,700, but I kind of had this motto where it's go big or go home, and just give ourselves a bigger arena. And I have absolutely no doubt in the world we will 100% sell it out. Even if we don't, I will get tickets and I will go stand on the corner of Ali Pali and tickets myself the night before. I know that we don't need to do that because it will sell out. People will sit there and they go, should we go to the darts at Ali Pali or should we go to the Moscone Cup? Finally, no, people weren't saying that years ago. I know, like, you know, Blackpool was great. It was a really good venue. York Hall was a great venue, but we were giving free tickets away. Like, they were free tickets. And 5 years ago, people weren't buying tickets to the Moscone Cup. Now we're looking at 3,000 capacity. People are actually purchasing the tickets. What month are we? We're April, and we're over halfway already sold. People buy these tickets early because they know it's going to sell out. But this is what I'm trying to compare it to, is years before, you were bringing in your hardcore fans because they loved the event and they would travel for the event because they knew it was great. We've hit something different now. Now we've peeked into the casual audience. You don't necessarily go on Facebook and see the pool, all of the different pool events. They've heard of the Moscone Cup. They know of the darts. They know of our boxing. And they're the ones that we're branching out to. And that's how we increase these capacities. And that's how we increase viewership and pull. And so, rightly so, go big or go home. We have to sell these tickets. And so let's do it. But this is where it's different. We've got casual fans coming along and actually enjoying the Moscone Cup and enjoying pool. And I say pool because even though it's nine ball, I like to globalise it as pool. Because for us, commercially, big brands don't know what nine ball, eight ball, ten ball. They don't know what the difference is. Banks or all of that. They just know pool, American pool. And so we have to try and simplify it. And so that's why I say, you know, it's just they're coming to
work. Mom, excuse me.
Where?
it's not my mom, but.
What the hell is Evie?
Wait, let me see the sign. Let him see your
sign. Evie is
the. These guys are looking for millionaire Evie.
That's awesome.
Emily, for you who don't know, who you probably don't know who's millionaire Evie, Emily. He's my neighbor around here. He's one of my poker buddies. So he shoots this eight ball, but he's got his own rules. And this guy, when he first started with us, he can't make two balls in a row, but he will bet it up. So he found the fillers here in the basement, and he started playing both of them with ridiculous amount of handicap. Like with Pia, he plays Pia in eight ball. Like when it's his turn to shoot, he gets to take five balls off the table. That's his match with Pia. So after two sessions, he ended up losing with Pia. With is it five balls, six balls?
Five balls.
And then with Joshua playing one-handed, left hand, and him taking off how many balls, Josh? Five balls off the table. So the last time we saw him, the last session was, he lost 30 games to Joshua, and we never heard back from him. So,
is he alive?
I hope so, because these two are still looking for him, you know? That's why they have those signs up. Where is millionaire Andy, you know? Hey, come back up here, you two. I think Emily got questions for you two.
Oh, no, I don't. I don't want to see them. No, I'm joking. It's my favorite couple in pool.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey. How are you?
I'm good.
You have to like Pia. She's playing in the US Open for you.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, Pia is literally what is like the... I love everything about how Pia will just be like, yeah, I'm going to play in the US Open. It's like my favourite type of woman. But so I spoke with Alex and Cole last weekend. So we decided that we're going to put Pia and Josh in as wild cards for the Moscone Cup. A couple of them through. So
that would
be quite exciting, won't it?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Pia last night, she knows how much I love pancakes, but regular pancakes, buttermilk pancakes. She said, Roy, it's time for me to cook you a healthy pancake. I was like, go ahead with it. She cooked it. I could smell it. Then I was like, I don't know. I don't know. She the ingredients she used was, what was it? Buckwheat, okay. To start with that, I'm like, whoa.
I didn't know. We just bought the one thing. I didn't know it was buckwheat.
With a whole banana?
Yeah, banana.
Blueberry, right? Yeah. And she kind of like burned it, you know, on the frying pan. And when she's done, I knew it wasn't going to be good because she didn't even ask me if I wanted to try it. She just ate a couple of it. And when she's done, she came back to me and Joshua while we're watching Netflix. She said, I asked her, I said, how was it? Your pancake, your healthy pancake. Roy, I'll be honest with you. It smelled like it's a very old food that I cooked.
But yeah, I mean, the secret is out. I'm not a good cook. That's why we got Uber Eats for the McDonald's. And sushi that well, I mean, I'm a good promoter for Joshua, but that's all. I can't cook. It's out.
I thought that you'd be like a good cook. You're not the perfect wife. You can't cook.
Well, I don't think perfect wife is about cooking. We got a mom for that.
But my wife been teaching her a lot about cooking. She's different when she comes out of Roy's basement. She'll learn a whole lot.
Well, I was going to say, if you come to the UK, I'll invite you here and you can come play on the pool table here. But I don't want you here if you can't cook.
Yeah, being a perfect wife for Joshua just means how to know how to order McDonald's. That's all.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
He is quick with her DoorDash and Uber Eats, you know? Like,
I don't understand how you're so skinny, Josh. Like, you eat such bad food.
Because all he does is run out.
I don't know. I don't even run out, so I don't know.
Well, it's all he does is run out all the time.
I mean, Nutella breads every day, like twice a day. Yeah. Nutella, you know, McDonald's, Burger King. I don't know. A lot of potatoes he eats. And Capri Sun. He's crazy about Capri Sun juices.
Yeah, but they are great.
Hey, listen, when I'm working out, like sometimes I just do it next to the sofa. He's sitting on the sofa eating potato chips and laughing at me. That's all right.
Hey, Nate, I just want to remind everybody. All right, Emily, we can do a scrimmage match. I think we can do it sometime around if there is a U.S. Open International in November. We can do a warm-up between Team USA and Team Roy's Basement.
No, it has to be here in London.
Has to be in London.
1 week.
How do I bring 5 Filipinos to London?
Well, you better start selling someone's body on the street, Roy, because it's not cheap, I tell you. I'm not fucking paying for it.
We'll talk about it. We might be able to do it.
Yeah, we might be able to, but it has to be the week before in London.
Exactly.
You have to get, the whole point is to get both Team Europe and Team USA acclimatized to the time difference and to be in London and to be a team together. So we wouldn't do it at the International Open. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think
we could probably get a GoFundMe started for this. I feel like the poor
world. No, don't waste your money on things like that. Buy a fucking ticket. Don't put your money like that. That's what we're the promoters. That's what we do. Don't waste your money on that. Buy a ticket.
I don't yell that.
We're not a charity. It's not a charity match.
I want to see this happen.
It will happen. Give it time. But we need to find the right... Maybe we do it in Vegas next year.
That would be cool.
When it's when it works better. Because then we can actually do it in America. Or they can come to London.
Hey, Nate, you know how I love Emily? First time I met Emily through texting is when I was... the first time they've done the U.S. Open... So I put up a couple of players, Filipino players, in there, and I go try to hit her up with Emily, since I put up several Filipino players in the tournament. Can I get a free ticket to the U.S. Open? And she just texted, no. That's how I love this woman. She's straight up, you know. But I almost told her, Nate, like, look, maybe you didn't know before the U.S. Open Jumbo was sold, the owner, which is the son, what's the son's name again? He's my buddy.
I'm not telling you. If he's meant to be your friend.
Yeah, I know. I'm blanking out right now. What's his name?
Brady.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brady. You're my buddy, but I'm blanking out right now. But so Brady, I was like, I texted Brady right away when Emily says no. I said, Brady. Does she know that you asked me before you sold the U.S. Open 9-ball to them if it's a good idea and then all? You asked for my advice? And she was like, no, she probably doesn't know, but that's her. She said no to you? That's my girl. That's what Brady said.
I actually did not know that. So, but it still wouldn't have changed anything, to be honest.
That's right. That's why I like you, Emily. That's the way to do it.
Well, maybe you can get a free ticket next time. Maybe.
Got to find out that the players I sent to the U.S. Open, they get free tickets for their families and friends anyway.
They just give you one of those.
Yeah, I had a whole bunch. I ended up giving them away.
I can't talk to you. You give each player 4 tickets.
That's right.
To be fair, you were probably texting me when like the container hadn't turned up and I just wanted to kill everyone. Yeah. And everything was like no, no, no to anyone that wasn't a container. So
no, I like that. I mean, if I can hire you for my Roy's Basement crew, I'll hire you if I can afford you, you know. That's
no,
how
I
want it.
Sorry.
Well, maybe you could leverage your, if you bring an entire team to London next year, maybe you could leverage those into some Moscone Cup tickets. That seems like a good trade-off.
Yeah. Might even upgrade them to VIP, Roy. You never know. Depends what kind of mood I'm in.
Yes.
Well, if you get more than...
We'll bring a banana bread for her.
Oh, I love banana bread. Yes, please.
You want to try the one Pia made?
No. I'll tell your wife.
No, this one was easy because I got someone to tell me how to do it. So it was pretty easy, but now I can do it on my own.
I love it, Pia, but I'm not going to taste anything you've cooked. Sorry.
Okay, I can understand. It's okay. At least you're honest. I like that.
Yeah. So have you had any more questions come through, Nate?
I have one more question. I would like to ask one for Joshua and Pia. What are your favorite matchroom events to play in?
Well, I haven't played in a matchroom event yet, but I think it's definitely going to be the US Open because I signed in for it and I can't wait to participate in it. And just show the pool world that women can play too. I'm looking forward to that.
Hell yes.
And for me, it's definitely the Moscone Cup because you're not playing for your own, you play for your team and for Europe. And you have so many fans traveling with you. So last time was like over 500-700 from Europe coming to Vegas. So that's where there's more heat on the player. So I love the pressure more.
Yeah.
What's it, Joshua, what's it like? You know, you've obviously got Team Europe against Team USA. And I always find this quite funny at the time because you're all kind of friends within Team Europe, but then you're also friends with Team USA. So what's it like when you're actually out there? Press conference is a bit different because that was obviously, it was like boxing and, yeah, you know. But when you're there, do you actually really dislike the player that you're up against?
No.
At a certain time?
It's not about the player, because when I played, the crowd was since I was in the arena, the crowd was against me from USA. And I just tried to find an answer for that. And that's why I really acted like that. It's not about the player, about Shane or Billy or something. I don't dislike them. I like them because after the Moscone Cup, we had to talk and they understood me. So that's it, actually, yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes it's like in boxing, you see them all before the lead up, they hate each other, and then afterwards, they're all friends again. But it's a bit different in pool.
It's not really about hate the player, it's just a game. You just want to win, you don't want to lose. It's not about the player at all.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Who would, for Josh, if you had to name your worst Team Europe this year, or your best Team Europe, what would it be? If you were on the event,
okay,
who would your best and worst team be?
Pick one, the best?
Huh? No, both. Everyone wants both. You can start off with the best, and then I'll let you finish with the worst.
I think the strongest. I'll start with the strongest one.
Okay.
I think this year will be Federer, Jason, me, Albin, so that's already four, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth, I would say Kachi.
Okay. Your worst.
I don't know.
I'm guessing it has to include Carl. It has to.
I think that's kind of a question where I just can lose, so I don't want to answer that.
Albin worse. Come on.
But, I mean, at least you're used to it, that the whole crowd is hating you, so you can just be honest. They hate you anyway.
But I don't want to lose friends.
Which friends?
At one point, I'm going to get you on that. So if you make the team this year, I will ask you at the press conference, so have it ready in your head.
I would be prepared.
Okay, I got to ask a question off of that now. For Team USA, what is your five best and your five worst? You can take that shot, right? You can make fun of them.
Yeah, I think the five best played last year already.
So who's your five worst?
Would you swap anyone?
Huh?
Would you swap anyone out for the best? You would say
that was the best team that the five worst. I don't know many USA players, so I can't name anyone.
he's being too reserved. We need to get someone that will fight talk more.
Where's right. We need Jason Shaw. Jason Shaw is great.
Yeah, Jason would have said it.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah. Carl would probably.
Yeah, but he can't play anymore. He's just a pundit.
He's a wash.
So he'll be the team captain of that team.
One more question for Filler. You said your favorite part of the Matchroom events was the team camaraderie. Is that the same for, like, you played with Ralph Suquet last year for the World Cup of Pool? Would that be your second, because you still get to a little bit of that team environment to that tournament?
Well, it's quite different. That's a tough question, actually. I think, of course, there's more pressure when you play doubles because you don't want to disappoint your partner, you know? And it's also a different game because you play with someone else and on your own. So, yeah, I would say, actually, I can take it as a different second part. That it's second, yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, Nate, sorry to cut you off here. Before I forget, we've been planning a whole lot of stuff, you know, since we're locked up here in the basement, you know. When this whole pandemic is done and everything settles down, what we're going to do is the Fillers and us, Royce Basement, we're going back to the Philippines. They've never been to the Philippines, so we're going to hit all the best beaches they have out in the Philippines. PSA, oh, yeah, you know, I've been working out, you know. I'll be in my swimsuit, you know. But Joshua wants to play a lot of money games, too, in the Philippines, you know. He wants to try it. I gave him a little hint, you know, how the table's going to work and all that, and he's okay with it, you know. And after that, same trip, you know. After Philippines, we're going to go to Taiwan and do a lot of money games in Taiwan. And, of course, it's not just a killer fielder. I said the Royce Basement, so we might be with James Aranis, too, you know. James Aranis going with us. Maybe Dennis Okoyo. Kind of doubt it, though. So he's stuck here in the U.S. doing big money games all the time. But anyway, yeah, and after that, we can go to a European tour and try to promote. You know, even it's a small bet, you know, it's still money games, you know. Let's go sweat it. Let's do money games, you know. I heard Europeans don't play each other, you know, because they're buddy buddies. Hey, let's break that, you know. I mean, money games for 100, 200, 500, you know, let's do it. Let's start something rolling in Europe, you know. Because in the U.S., that's all we do. It's just a different feeling, you know, when you're playing for your own money or half of it's your own, you know. It's just a different feeling than playing tournaments.
And I'm hoping that you're going to be live streaming this along the way so that we all get to watch along the way.
Yes, that's what I do. And I owe it to my followers. Hey, and thank you, my followers. It grew more than 50,000 followers. They must be liking what I'm doing.
Or they're just bored as fuck.
And they never fail me, Emily. Every time I need help, they're there. I mean, my followers, you know. I mean, they know I'm not after anything, you know. I've lost so much money in pool since I came back 3 years ago, you know. So they know already I'm not after money, you know. I'm showing my stuff mostly free. But sometimes you can't stay away from it. There's a big production involved, a lot of expenses, you know. That's when I asked him, please, can you support me on this one? it's going to be pay-per-view, or maybe we need some donations. Not all the time, once in a while when it's a big production match.
Well, I think it's fair to say that none of us as promoters, as players, anyone would be where we are if it wasn't for the fans. They're the ones that are tuning in. They're the ones that are turning up to the tournaments. And these tournaments wouldn't be growing if it wasn't for them. But then on the other side, there's obviously very frustrating situations like live streams, illegal streams and things like that. And sometimes everyone just needs to understand that we're not doing some of these things just to get everyone for all the money that they've got. We need that support in order to actually increase prize money and increase production and to be able to actually hold more events. So things like, obviously, DAZN is a new thing for us that we launched. There's a reason why we launched it and we're working with them. They're the new Netflix of sport. And so the more that we work with them, the more people that tune in, the numbers that come through on Germany when filler is on is just phenomenal. But the more numbers that you see coming through, the more events that they'll be interested in. So all of a sudden, the Moscone Cup was absolutely through the roof, the numbers. So why not do a US tour? But that's what we need. We need that to start in order to move forward. So, but it's good that we've got the fans obviously supporting, because like I said, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be where we are.
Totally agree with that. When James Aranis played filler here in the basement a couple weeks ago, my followers grew 10,000 Germans. And there's only 8,000 Germans. Picked up 10,000 Germans.
That's awesome. And because you shouldn't be the one giving the plug for this, Joshua Filler is going to be playing Warren Kiamko very soon in a big one pocket match, which you guys are going to be streaming for free. You guys accept donations, and anybody who's going to support, anybody who's tuning into this, absolutely support you guys for doing that. A lot of that money goes, you guys split it up thirds, so a third goes to the player, or a third goes to each player, and then a third goes to, for the stream. So absolutely, I mean, what else do we have to watch? It's either that, or you're watching, you know, us three just vent, or us five, I guess, just talk about nothing. So absolutely, you gotta support the people who are putting out the products. And the same with Matchroom. I mean, once this lockdown is done, get to the Moscone Cup, buy your tickets, get over there, support that, get to Gibraltar if you can, and get to the Whirlpool Masters. You know, whatever you can, support the people that are investing all of their time and effort in growing the game of pool, because without you guys, I mean, it's the last 30 years of pools, which hasn't been much. So
we are looking at, I won't say too much, but we are looking at something during the lockdown that we're going to be launching soon. So something for the pros. But we want to make sure we get it right. We've seen, obviously, there's a lot of games happening at the moment. Obviously, for us, we want to make sure that we're not breaking any sort of restrictions when it comes to people being in the same room and, you know, production thing, production staff and things like that. So I think it's very important that the more we actually contain and stay on lockdown, the less likely this virus is going to continue to grow and it's going to get worse. So we obviously want to try and get as much content out there whilst not doing that. So I would urge that people are sort of taking this very seriously. Hopefully that this will all blow over soon. But whilst we have a couple of months potentially until our next pool event, we're going to try and start something for the pros. It means you have to have access to a table. So I'll be in touch with you guys soon. So I'm sure you're going to be there for a little while.
Yep, we'll be here. What?
Luckily.
In fact, we're starting tonight, Nate, again. Whoever wants to make up a game with Joshua Filler playing the Ghost tonight, let's sweat it a little bit. We'll keep going tonight.
For sure. And other than that, I thank you both so much for joining. I think these are a lot of fun. They would get a lot of good information out to the fans, and it's some pool content. I think people are starving for that right now. So we're not watching any balls getting made, but, you know, we're at least talking about the future of pool. So thank you guys so much for joining me.
Hey, thank you, Nate, Emily.
Yeah, it's good to actually to chat to you, Roy. I'm sorry about the ticket situation. I'm not sorry. Maybe
save
that's
your
what
life you... on Moscone.
No, those are ones I can sell. I can't sell the US Open. I would have given you 100. Maybe that's why you've gone broke. You should have sold those tickets you had four for every player.
That's right. What was that?
I thought you were a businessman. You could have gone down Mandalay Bay and gone and sold the tickets. No wonder why you're broke.
Hey, I started as a multimillionaire with pool 3 years ago. Now I'm just a millionaire.
Oh, goodness me. Was there, Nate, was there any questions that we missed out from anyone?
There was a couple. Real quickly, what was the inspiration for, what was the inspiration for starting up your junior program? I mean, I think that's a pretty easy one, but, or their hopes to do junior stuff in the future, I should say.
Yeah, I think I wrote an email out to myself like a month ago, and it said, start a junior event alongside one of the ones you've already got, and that email sits in like my folder that I carry around with me all the time, and I think it's just sat there in the back of my mind, and we brainstormed it at the office and worked with obviously the BCA on it, and the US Open just seemed like the best choice to go for it. Obviously we launched it for this year, it's obviously not taking place yet. But I think it's fair to say, and it's a kind of no-brainer, we're not going to get anywhere in this industry unless we spark the passion from the younger generation. You know, there's Joshua and even Pia go and play in a big tournament, and you've got sort of kids watching. They want to be able to look at that and say, okay, I can actually make that. Whereas at the moment, it feels like it's too tough. So, for instance, with the junior event that we did, we automatically give two of the players a spot into the US Open the next year. And so you never know what could happen. And obviously, if they're playing the US Open, we're going to straight away put them on the live stream. All of a sudden, you've got a junior that had zero shot of coming into a matchroom event so early on until sort of a later on. I mean, Joshua, if you knew that you had that kind of opportunity 10 years ago, it's quite exciting, and it just gives a bit of hope. And we still need to tweak a lot of things and try and increase the amount of players we can get there. But it's year one for us. We only have, you know, access to a small amount of tables, and we actually don't have a lot of time to have a junior event. So we had to be quite creative in how we formatted it. But it's definitely something that's on our radar. And we want to, and just like it, women in pool as well, we want to make sure that we're giving everyone the chance, because that is the only way that we're going to bring this sport forward.
Yeah, agree 100%.
Very well thought out. Yep. And then one last question, because I think this would be a fun one for Josh. If you had to partner with one person from the world, anybody, in a Scotch doubles, and let's say $1 billion was on the line, who would be your partner if you could choose anyone in the world?
Well, I have to look who fits to my game. It's quite easy. It's probably Jason. Because he's also a left-handed player. He shoots fast, he shoots straight, so it's quite easy.
Yeah. And you're both insane shot makers.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to worry about playing positioning.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's all I have. So I'll thank you guys one more time for joining me. And I think, Roy, we're going to do something maybe again next week to promote Warren's and Josh's matchup.
Cool. Hit me up.
Yep. And Emily, we'll stay in touch. I mean, of course, we'll figure out something to continue growing the game in the future.
Yep. Roy, let's work together a lot more.
Okay. So
let's stay in touch and work together a lot more. I think it's more, I keep saying it to everyone, and I don't know, I think everyone thinks that Matchroom think they're the best and we just want to work on our own. It is not the case whatsoever. We're not going to grow this sport unless we all actually get our brains together and work with one another. So keeping the door open for communication.
But you are the best.
Oh, I know I'm the best, obviously.
Cool. I'll hit you up for more free tickets.
No.
Not that kind of working together.
And Pia will be sending her baked banana bread.
Oh, you said look at him!
I'll take some too. I'll take some too.
Someone else.
All right, folks. It's been fun.
It's been a blast. Thanks, everybody. And
bye.
See ya.